Chapter number 6, The Highest Conception of Conduct. One day, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting the Lord's names and wandering in the sky at his sweet will. Suddenly he found that he was just near Yamalaya, where Yama, the Lord of Death, holds court for judging the sinners of this world. He also found there Brahma, Narad, Shiva, and others discussing with Yamaraj the meaning of 2 shlokas spoken by Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But they could not solve the problem of discerning the proper meaning of the shlokas. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadhureva samantavyaha samyag vyavasito hi saha. Quote, externally, a person may be seen to commit many sins, but if he is exclusively given to my devotion, he should be considered most pure, a saint. Whatever he does 100% rightly. Close quote. Kshiprang bhavati dharmatma shashvach chantim nigachchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashyati. Quote, very soon he will become religious in his behavior, and he will be seen to acquire real peace in his life. O son of Kunti, confidently declare to the public that my devotee never meets ruination. Close quote. But one who is engaged in the Lord's exclusive devotion, Ananya Bhajan, has been defined by the Lord in his own words, Savadhaman Prityaja Mamikam Sharanang Vraja. Quote, my exclusive devotee is he who gives up all phases of duty, Savadharman, and surrenders to my feet, accepting only his duty to me. Close quote. How then, having already surpassed all phases of duties and surrendered to the Lord, can that exclusive devotee, Ananya Bhak, further be seen to become a dutiful or externally pious man, Kshiprang Bhavati Dharmatma? This is an anomaly. Yamaraj, Brahma, Narad, etc. discussed this point, but could not arrive at any solution. How can one become righteous in the near future, when he has already abandoned all kinds of duties, either righteous or unrighteous, in order to exclusively surrender to the feet of the Supreme Lord? Finding no solution, they sent for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who, they noticed, was moving in the sky and taking the name of the Lord. They said, he is a pure devotee and not an ordinary devotee. He has deep knowledge of the scriptures, so let him come and explain these verses of Bhagavad Gita. And so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited, and he went there. He gave the meaning, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak. Despite his outer practices, the exclusive devotee, Ananya Bhak, is to be accepted, mantavyaha, as a 100% saint, sadhu. Therefore, the conclusion is that he who can realize this, he who declares that an exclusive devotee of Krishna, regardless of his outer practices, is 100% saintly, he will soon become dharmatma, virtuous and religious. His statement and conclusion is 100% correct, and his conduct will soon become very pure, and he too will have the chance of accepting the path towards eternal truth. Quote, so Arjuna, you take advantage of this and boldly declare to the public that my devotee who gives himself wholly unto me can never come to ruination. Even if he may be seen to be outwardly doing something wrong, he will be saved. His successful life is assured. By this declaration, you will get the benefit of becoming righteous and have the chance of attaining eternal spiritual peace. Whoever can understand this and has the courage to declare that my exclusive devotee is never subject to ruination, he in turn gets his chance to come to this path of exclusive devotion, and he will attain eternal peace. Close quote. He will attain everything because he has the proper appreciation for exclusive devotion. Everything is for the Lord and not for any other part. In the Absolute, everything is for itself. The Absolute is for itself. Whether we obey or disobey the laws of provincial or separate interest, we must without fail obey the rule that everything is for Him. This is the main rule, and all others are subsidiary. We may or may not carry on our duties, but we must carry on our duty towards the center. This is the all-important factor in every case. Thus, one who can appreciate this and boldly assert it to the public must have substantial appreciation for this conception, and he is sure to survive and improve his future condition very soon. He will attain the path of eternal peace, and that is the service of myself, Krishna. This is the underlying meaning. The highest quality in every part of the whole is that everyone must be dedicated towards the center, even crossing his dutifulness in respect to any other environmental position. And one who can feel, appreciate, and assert this, he will also soon achieve such a position. His inner heart can appreciate, and that is something of a realization on that path. It will very soon take effect, and the public will see, oh, he is also entering this path of Ananya Bhajan, the exclusive adherence to the call of the Absolute Center, and that is all in all. Quote, Dharma means morals, duties, including duties to father, mother, country, society, humanity, etc. But if one neglects all these and keeps a straight relationship towards me, he will be considered free of any fault. He is in the line of Savadharman Krityaja, Mamikang Sharanang Raja. He is doing right, and one who can simply appreciate this will also very soon be converted to the same class. Close quote. This is the whole purport. In the standard or most general interpretation, the beginner in devotional service may have so many bad tendencies in his behavior, but when he matures, these must disappear. Nonetheless, undesirable behavior may sometimes be seen to persist, at least externally. The more we are particular about the conduct of others, the more we lose our own time and energy. Instead of benefiting us, such a practice is reactionary. If I try to find fault with anyone, especially a devotee, the fault will come back to me. By chewing the poison in his body, that poison will come to me. Avoid such association. Try to find the good in others. That will help you. There was a system in our mat at the time of our Guru Maharaj. He ordered one devotee to praise another, especially one that the devotee disliked. Thus the devotee would be forced to find the goodness in the other devotee who he didn't particularly like, and thereby be benefited. Eliminating what was bad in his conception of the other person, he was to search for what good he could find, and thereby be benefited. There need be no culture with any bad thing anywhere, especially in the devotees. Krishna has taken charge of his surrendered souls, Ananya Bhak. Thus, whatever good or bad may be present in them is his responsibility. Any badness or evil in a devotee may disappear at any time by his will. Otherwise, Krishna may have that tendency continue in order to serve some purpose of his. We must have this vision. We must not dare to criticize those who are directly under the charge of Krishna, or we shall accrue great difficulty. We should try to find the good in them, for that will help us a great deal. This is not a theoretical matter, but a most practical consideration. Srila Rupa Goswami has given the example that the sacred Ganges water may externally appear to be filthy, but that outward filthiness of mud, bubbles, and foam cannot change the purifying capacity of the Ganges water. Similarly, the devotee himself, the pure soul, or Atma, is the purifying agent, the purest and most normal factor in the world. Whatever may be externally seen in his character is like the mud, bubbles, and foam that is found in the Ganges water. The purifying capacity of the Ganges water is separate and cannot be disturbed by any foam or dirt mixed with the water. The spiritual capacity does not depend in any way on the apparent material capacity. A Vaishnava may sometimes be seen to be a little greedy, a little angry, or physically he may be blind or deaf or lame. But the saintly character of the Vaishnava is independent of the mental or physical characteristics. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India, there was the case of Vasudev Vipra at Kurumakshetra. He was a leper, but at the same time he was a great devotee. His physical behavior was also uniquely exemplary. If any worms fell from his open sores to the ground, he would pick them up and replace them in the sores so the worms would not die. He was a thorough devotee. Mahaprabhu embraced him, and by the touch of his embrace, the leprosy disappeared. Also, Srila Sanatana Goswami contracted sores all over his body due to the contact of bad water in the jungle when he was returning from Vrindavan to Puri. Mahaprabhu used to welcome him by embracing him, but Sanatana would try to withdraw. He objected, "Don't touch me, this is the body of a sinful man." The sores were oozing and emitting a bad odor, but Mahaprabhu embraced him forcibly. Sanatana had decided, "I shall either leave this place or I shall invite death by falling under the wheel of the cart of Lord Jagannath." But as the Lord in the heart of all, Mahaprabhu knew Sanatana's mind. He chastised him and embraced him forcibly. All the sores disappeared, and Sanatana's body immediately became like gold. But as the Lord in the heart of all, Mahaprabhu knew Sanatana's mind. He chastised him and embraced him forcibly. All the sores disappeared, and Sanatana's body immediately became like gold. Mahaprabhu said, "Sanatan, you are a Vaishnava. Your body is not defective. Aprakrita deha tomara prakrita kabunaya. Krishna is testing me. I am a sannyasi, and he is examining whether there is any partiality in my dealings with a Vaishnava simply because of his externally having so many sores. He is examining whether I will shrink from the association of such a Vaishnava and cast him aside. But your body is already pure, and only for the purpose of testing the public, Krishna has created this. And if I cannot see this, I will have failed his test, and will have been deceived by Krishna. It is a mere show, it is nothing. Your body is pure because you are a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna. This impurity is only an appearance in order to serve Krishna's divine purpose. Wherever there is Vaishnavata, true saintly devotedness, there can never be any contamination. Only to test my devotion has Krishna sent you to me in this condition." So Mahaprabhu embraced him and demonstrated that he was absolutely pure. Whether externally pure or impure, the whole principle is that our exclusive devotion for Krishna is the only necessity. In the ordinary sense, the gopis are also sinners. They cross the laws of society and the Shastras, so they are sinners. But they hold the highest position of purity by their exclusive devotedness to Krishna and no other. They cannot help but to serve Krishna 100%, even at the risk of crossing the entire code of morality. They are considered to be the highest devotional ideal. But that sort of devotion is not so cheap that everyone will go on with their activities in this world, taking advantage of such ideals. That won't do. The real measure of devotion must be there. Not that anyone may do anything passing in the name of pure devotion, like the Prakriti Sahajyas. That cannot be allowed. Thus ends the 6th chapter of the Sermons of the Garden of Devotion, Volume 1. The highest conception of conduct.